Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Breeder Syndicate, where we explore the history of a clandestine scene through the eyes of the folks who live here. I'm Matthew, owner of Riot Seeds. I'll occasionally be joined by my co-host Not-So-Dog, breeder and grower from Mendocino. Welcome to the underground. All right. So yeah, I decided, like, we talk all the time. We've been trying to figure out the whole Super Skunk fiasco.
Yep.
From point of where, how do we want to label certain people?
Well, I mean, we can just call a Skunk Va Skunk Va.
Uh-huh.
Since everybody knows, everybody's familiar with that moniker.
Yeah, others.
Chem Dog is Chem Dog. That's another familiar moniker.
Mm-hmm.
Skunk Von Mai's old buddy. I think during the podcast, he called him his buddy from Staten Island.
Okay, let's do that, yeah.
And he's a private dude and kind of out of the scene at this point, so we're just going to like not say his name out of respect, and that he's long, his part is important, but long ago. So
yes.
Out of respect for him, we'll just refer to him in code.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Strangely, he's one of those rare people in the industry that is not seeking past fame.
Yeah, no, it's not P-Bud, guys, no. He is actually the opposite. So let's start with, where do you want to start the Super Skunk story at? Where should we start it at?
We'll start it at the beginning.
There we go.
Okay.
Take the ring.
So my buddy from Staten Island, him and Skunk Va were very good friends, and they used to travel and tour together Dead Tour days, right?
Yep.
And in the early 90s, a dude wanted to move out to the West Coast in California, and he was more into seeing Jerry Garcia shows than he was into seeing the actual Dead, right?
Yeah.
But Jerry would play at the Warfield basically every month,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a big-ass hippie gathering at the Warfield. You know, and so my buddy kind of stopped touring, moved to Sonoma County, and started seeing every Jerry show there.
Okay.
Right? So obviously, Jerry shows are, they're like honey to deadheads. So a whole bunch
yeah,
of,
they are.
You know, so a whole bunch of deadheads would always attend the shows at the Warfield, right?
Correct.
So Skunk Va being... being from Virginia, right? A lot of his old crew and mentors and various things like that were East Coast, right?
Yeah.
So one time, some of these guys came out and from the East Coast, and they were partying with all those guys at the Warfield. Okay?
Okay.
So Skunk Va and I's mutual friend used to have this strain called the Francine. All right.
And tell us about Francine a little offset, but tell us about Francine a little bit.
Francine is a mystery indica that we didn't use the term at the time, but it was about as terpy gets.
Yeah.
Eventually, dude dropped it because, like a lot of Afghans, it had a horrific mold problem.
Yeah.
And as you know, when you grow things that horrifically look beautiful and horrifically mold, at times. It's very depressing harvest time.
Oh, so yeah.
It's happened to you a few times with a cut. You can get PTSD and decide to drop it, you know? Like, people get emotional about it. So,
what does she smell like?
You know, it was a really good combination of, that Afghan kind of acrid funk.
Yeah.
Right? But with a fruity aspect, but not like the tropical sativa kind of fruit. It just had a really deep, like foot funk fruit kind of flavor to it, I think.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, so these dudes loved it.
Yeah.
Right? And they loved it so much, they were willing to trade this skunk that they had for it. Okay. So separately to all this story, and Skunk Vaz kind of talked about this extensively on his podcast, so I'll just briefly touch on it. But
sure.
Chem Dog wouldn't give out the dog, which is what we call it, to anyone, right? He held it super tight. He didn't want anybody in his circle getting it. He didn't want to get cut off, you know, or have other people sell it. But when Homie moved to California, he agreed, look, I'll give it to you if you just don't ever share it with anybody back east.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, don't want to compete markets. Totally makes sense.
Markets don't share it. So basically what happened is that Skunk Va arranged with his buddies to trade the Francine for the skunk. Okay?
Yeah. And
dude decided to make a double trip where he would bring the Francine out to Virginia, and he would trade it for the skunk, and then he would drive up to Massachusetts, and he would get the chem dog that was promised to him, right?
Dude, that's committed. That is committed.
In 1993, Homie drove across a bunch of shady-ass states with living plants. You know, not very many and small, but still, you know.
Still, yeah.
Fancy, if he got pulled over, he probably would have had to eat them. You know, or something.
Yeah. And you have those state checkpoints.
You got to go through all kinds of. You know, this was actually to use a term we joke about, most of the Highway 80 drug checkpoints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This was in 93, so they really hadn't gotten wise to that too much.
Oh, good.
If you took the middle route, you were pretty much safe for the most part. I mean, you could still get pulled over, you know, and he definitely looked like a hippie.
I bet.
Like, he wasn't, you know, secret sauce or anything like that. He didn't look like a young Republican or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he drives out to Virginia and meets what we just learned, actually, recently. Ended up being the dude's actual worker because the dude had already kind of gone on the run for a bit and was bobbing and weaving. And so he gets this super skunk cut. Okay.
And I want to interject. As far as we know, the person we're referring to, not by name, the Staten Island guy.
Yes.
That, as far as we know, this is Skunk VA's mentor. So this is how close we can put Skunk VA to the beginning of this cut. As far as we know,
the guy that agreed to do it is the mentor, but apparently, the guy that actually did the trade is one of his workers.
Exactly.
But I asked, when all this confusion came up a few years ago, I asked Staten Island, do you remember the exchange well enough to be absolutely sure what did he call it?
Because
if you fast forward to when I became friends with these guys in the late 90s, it was always called Super Skunk, right?
Yes.
So Staten Island, he gets, you know, he told me that straight up dude said, this is a Super Skunk cut.
Okay.
So he gets
straightforward.
Right?
Yeah.
So he trades, he gets it, then he drives to Massachusetts, okay, and he meets up with Chem Dog, and he gets the 91. We all call it the dog, but, you know, everybody on the internet calls it Skunk Va Cut or 91 or whatever, so.
Yeah.
But everybody back then, it was just the dog. A bunch of these dudes were organic growers, and so even though it was Chem Dog.
They didn't want to put Chem on it,
My buddy, they weren't super into calling it Chem Dog because they grew fully organic. So so we just dropped the dog. And amongst all of us, long before it got famous or anything like that, that's just kind of the shorthand. You know, I've been writing that on labels now for 2 decades, right? So he got an extra cut or two, of this super skunk.
Okay.
Okay. And he gave one to ChemDog.
Okay.
Okay. So that's how, so ChemDog got it basically by accident.
Yeah, he got it by proxy, just
he
like
got it by accident by proxy. He got it because homie decided to go to Virginia before Massachusetts.
That's crazy. What a wild twist, yeah.
He could have reversed it and gone Massachusetts, Virginia, home.
Yeah.
But he went Virginia, Massachusetts, home.
That's it changed a lot.
That choice, in my opinion, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch or whatever, that
sure.
ended up leading to a whole series of accidental events that became super important, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, you know, so then he drives back home, right?
Yep.
Now he's got Super Skunk and the dog, okay?
Yes.
And if you went to Warfield shows in San Francisco to see Jerry Band, you probably could have seen him slinging all that in front of the show every single month. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Skunk Fa took a different tact, and he could speak to this for himself, but he kept touring basically. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Jerry died in August, this next week here, we call this the days between, because Jerry's birthday is on the 1st of August and his death is on the is in a week now or something like that. And so these
so
are
like Easter for hippies.
Yeah, it's sort of like the yeah, it's the Easter week or whatever. So you know, Skunk Va decided to settle down after Jerry passes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he started growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously to grow you have to be semi-stable. It's not
yeah.
really a nomadic lifestyle, right? So
yeah.
So those pictures that he's been posting of Polaroids and everything like that are after our buddy gave him the cut from his friends in Virginia and he started growing it.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So that's basically how this cut from Virginia made its way to Sonoma County, the Bay, and Massachusetts.
And see, and then this is a great intro too to the ChemDog story as well, which we will cover in our podcast, which will eventually be here soon.
Soon. So that's the start of the Super Skunk movie. You know, I didn't know them then personally.
Mm-hmm.
I met a couple of years after that. My buddy, he fell in love with the Mendo P.
Yeah.
And a couple other things or whatever. And so he ended up giving me the Super Skunk and the dog for safekeeping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the late 90s, and that's kind of how I got it.
And you've had it, well, like, not the Super Skunk, but the Chem 91, and it stayed with you ever since.
Yep. I've had that since. I never lost it. No. Unfortunately, the Super Skunk was lost, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know. So we have this stuff, right? And, you know, this is obviously, what is it? You know, so late 90s, 2000, 2001, this whole little era
yeah.
right then. So you've got, like, the internet is in its, like, infancy, essentially,
mm-hmm.
right? Overgrow had just began in 98.
Yeah, just started. Yeah.
So there really wasn't any internet fame.
Yeah.
Right, all these things that have become super famous and like holy grails and all these people trying to figure out stuff, right? Most of the stories that I believe that I've heard about this stuff comes from that era.
Yeah.
Because that was when there was nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
In the sense.
Right.
So there was no reason to bull about any of it. There was no fame associated with it. There was no rep. There was no – I mean, it was literally like – there was like four people in California who had it.
Yeah, exactly.
There was me, Skunk Va, our buddy, and IC Collective.
Yes, IC Collective, yes.
Right?
That's right.
Who was really close friends with Skunk Va, you know?
Yeah.
And Greg and that and he ended up like moving in with Skunk Va, and that's how he got the cut. So there was literally like four of us.
Yeah.
So not very big. And it's
no.
not like back then you had enormous rooms or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So there really wasn't very much of it even being produced.
Yeah, you're blowing it up with the four lighter, essentially. You're blowing it.
Mostly 8
Six?
To 12 lighters.
Oh, okay.
I
so you guys are slinging hard.
12 lighters or whatever, but you know, but yeah, you know, and so, so just to keep it back on the super skunk tip, you know, obviously it's been quite a long time, but here's what I know for sure. It was, I never ever heard it called anything but super skunk. You know, obviously we've had some debate amongst friends.
Oh, sure.
There's a whole different thing we can get into later about whatever, about some different names and stuff. And
yeah,
it may not be the exact same thing through different crews or whatever. But as far as my little group goes, that's what it was always called. Right?
Okay.
It was straight super skunk. And so buddy from Staten Island, okay,
mm-hmm.
he would love, like when we'd have trimmers over, you could pull side branches of that thing and you could hold it up to the picture in the catalog of the 90 seed bank, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like a dead ringer.
Yeah.
You could find buds on the plants that like matched that look exactly.
Yeah, it was very, very uniform.
I witnessed him dozens of times over multiple crops, right? Like, just because he was just so cool, because it's like
it's
exactly like the picture in the catalog, right?
Yeah, and he could show you, hey, this really is super skunk you're buying.
You know, and so, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, it was a sketchy plant. That was the very beginning of the 215 era, right? Uh-huh. But it wasn't really, you know, 215 had like multiple eras, right? The first five or six years of 215, like the cops, the courts, everything, it was still pretty much underground.
Yeah, yeah, you were still getting fucked.
People hadn't grown to like, let's have a greenhouse outside my back door. You know,
yeah, none of that.
Grilling. Indoor was still sketchy. It was still not the jam, you know?
Yeah.
So, so the super skunk, you know, the last two or three weeks, it literally, people joke about carbon filter killer, right?
Yeah.
It was the only strain I've ever grown that absolutely defeated every opportunity I ever had to win. I don't even know any other way to describe it. The amount of burn it would give me, like I would pull up with 2 weeks to go in front of my house in summer and it would smell like a dead skunk in my driveway.
Yeah, I know the feeling, not with dead skunks, but yeah.
Every direction. And so, you know, back then you're just like, oh my God, you know, that is pretty nerve wracking. And so
it was a point
at which I had, obviously people know on this thing what scrubbers are. I had a CO2 scrubber with a fan scrubbing the room.
Mm-hmm.
I had a carbon filter. Sorry, not CO2. I had a carbon filter, right?
Yeah.
And so that's scrubbing the room. And then I had a carbon filter on the exhaust. And then I had one of those huge UV Onair double, ozone generators.
Yes.
Even did the recommended 25 or 30 feet of tubing before it went out the building to make sure it had time to mix.
Yeah.
And it still smelled like I was slaughtering skunks in my backyard. I mean, that's kind of how it was, you know? So, it was trippy in that regard. And you know, it was, I don't know. It looked dense.
Uh-huh.
Even when it looked dense, it still weighed light.
Yeah,
so it's one of those things where like you know you put a nug on there and you're like, oh, this is gonna be impressive, and you're like, oh, no,
it's hollow. How does it make hollow weed?
So it was like solid, but it was fluffy. It's like almost like ice cream or something that had a bunch of air whipped into it, you know. And you know, and the terp. The weird thing about the terp is that it was super volatile, in my opinion. Like it didn't really stink until the last bit, and then. Dunk for about a month or 5 weeks after you cut it.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you let super skunk go too long in your jar or whatever, it would end up eventually kind of smelling semi to generic green bud.
Oh, yeah. So, that makes sense.
It would go from like, I could crack a jar in the other room and someone would walk in and ask me what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would have to, like, crunch the shit out of it and deeply smell to try to get a whiff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But fresh, it reeked.
Yeah.
You know? you know, and it, you know, it was kind of hard to trim. It could be sparse, you know, when it didn't, you know, I mean, for most people, probably the easiest way to think about it is, you know, real old school sour has a lot of similarities to it.
Yes.
You know, so when sour doesn't want to come out the right way, it's a bitch to trim, you know, like people lose heart. Yeah. People start, you know, your crew gets disheartened. Oh my God, I got to trim diesel, you know?
Yeah. Right. But,
you know, I posted some stuff for you the other night, that I sent you where like my old sour diesel cutting, it looks like those tops, those colas, they really see those same super skunk tops that Skunk Va posts.
Right? Yeah.
You can really see the similarity in it, you know? So the other thing that it had unbelievable terps. I mean, when people talk about RKS terps or whatever else, it was the terpiest, skunkiest, rankest thing imaginable. You know? It really was. You know, it also, you know, it also hermed like a motherfucker.
Yeah, that's like really the first thing I ever heard about Mass Super when I first started getting into the scene and learning the history and stuff, that shit was a herm bomb.
It was a herm bomb. It could herm. You know, we would pull it about 8 weeks. Sometimes you would, you know, you would try to take it longer because you think maybe it needed to be done more.
Mm-hmm.
And then would herm for sure.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, and this is kind of weird about it, is that it hermed early too. Because, well, as a breeder, right? Let's say you pull the super skunk at 58 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you find tiger stripe beans in it.
Yeah.
When were those beans made?
Yeah, you know, they're early on, primordial.
They had to be early on because it takes a good 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes, to mature it.
To like fully mature and get that dark tiger striping that looks all healthy and stuff, you know?
Sure.
So you pull a strain at 58 days just by the law of how beans grow.
Yeah.
Had the pot, you know, it something had bad had to happen at 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that, in my opinion, you know, and there's a certain amount of, you know, we can get to opinions about it, but that factor created a whole bunch of weed that we like.
Yeah, it did. That's the crazy part. Craziest part about all of it.
Through live herms. You know? And so, okay. So, you know, the buddy from Staten Island, right? Mm-hmm. He was not very into sharing.
Yeah.
No. When I got the dog, I had to promise that I wouldn't give it out, you know, which I didn't for forever, you know?
Yeah.
And I would have like, we would have like really good friends of ours that would, beg me for it. And I'd be like, you know who you have to talk to, get him to call me and say that you can have it and I'll take cuts for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, I'm not breaking my word.
Yeah, of course.
Because, like, we're all good friends and he's going to know you have it. And then that makes me look like an asshole, you know? So, no, you know? And there are issues. Yeah. And it's like, well, this is the, you know, this is what I had to do. So he wasn't as strict about the skunk, but he kind of felt the same way, you know? And you know me, like, I try to be as, like, as etiquette as possible with cuts.
Yeah.
I don't even like to pressure people. I'm just not into it. Like,
they
have their own vibe and their own energy about why they come to you or not, you know?
Sure.
And so, you know, so what sucks about that is that we didn't spread it very far.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we weren't on forums or anything like that or whatever. Staten Island buddy is not Weasel. Clop Glass, no.
No,
he's not. I'm not paying very much attention to the words at the bottom of the screen, so
it's all right.
If he has anything, maybe Matt can say it or repeat it again or something. But yeah, he's totally not. It's totally not him. So the fact there are two things, right? Is obviously back then most people are growing for profit, you know, on some level, and so having a cut that reeks the high heaven and scares your neighbors and herms on you. You know, it made it dicey on people holding it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we never, you know, Skunk Va, myself, you know, our buddy, we never really spread it. We weren't trading. We weren't active on the forums. You know, we weren't swapping cuts out right and left and stuff. And so, you know, that's a different discussion. But as you know, like every time, my opinion is like every single time a famous named cut happened.
Yeah.
Like Purple Craze with Urkel and GDP, the Sour, mm-hmm. the Cushes, whatever. A whole bunch of amazing diversity just goes to shit.
Yeah.
Because people want to fill their room or their greenhouse or their whatever with something that some guy is going to come and snap it from them, right?
Yeah, they want the shit that's going to sell, not for the most.
So even amongst most of my close friends, I've always had a bitch of a time getting people to back things up for me.
Yeah. Because
people want one or two plants that they're currently doing for production, and they don't mm-hmm. hold on to a bunch of stuff that they're doing for safekeeping or heads or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that easy for me to get it to be backed up anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, you know, when it comes to, you know, production and stuff like that, some broker finding seeds is fucking doom. So like, hey, do you want to grow this thing that could potentially lightly or heavily seed your room?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not at all.
Not really. No. Right. You know? So, you know, I mean, so we all grew it.
Sorry. I just had to boot someone. I didn't want to, but he was being a jackass and being real rude. So.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
It's all good.
I said,
we're good.
So I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the start of the Cali super skunk. You know, thing. It stayed with our little crew. And the Massachusetts side of things and Greg and all that other stuff, Chem Dog.
One second. Masonic, I'm being real fucking serious. You're being fucking disrespectful as fucking. I'm going to fuck you up if you keep it up. Knock it the fuck off. Have some respect. I've been real fucking cool to you. Okay, cool.
So, I don't know. I mean, so, you know, I don't know. I have no idea, like, you know, what happened with Chem Dog in Massachusetts, you know, who, when, how he shared what with, you know, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the actual super skunk cut goes.
Yeah.
You know, but it's one of those things where, like, you know, nobody wanted it until it became sort of this legendary famous thing.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And then everybody started poking around trying to figure out who might have kept it. You know? So, Staten Island and I, we had this thing where, like, two of our favorite strains were obviously the Super Skunk and the Chem Dog, right?
Yeah.
And the Super Skunk had the lime green and the frost. I mean, you know, from the Chem Dog, you know, from Dog isn't particularly gorgeous. It's not super frosty compared to
other
strains. It's darker cut, you know?
It cannibalizes its own leaves.
It doesn't even always taste great, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can taste amazing, and I love the flavor, but, like, I could grow it all year long and only two crops out of five be happy with its flavor at times.
Yeah.
You know, and why exactly that is, I don't know. So we had this idea, and this is long before, you know, I mean, there was no real American seed companies or anything like that, right? So
yeah.
we were doing a bunch of breeding, but we were doing a bunch of breeding that was literally for our taste buds. Like, it was not for public consumption. At best, it was going to be grown by us and spread out.
Yeah.
You know, we created this thing over time. Staten Island started it, and I came on and helped. And, you know, we did some work on it together that we eventually called the Superdog, which is in the Canna Bible, the second one, I think.
Yeah.
And,
that was my first experience with kind of really finding a strain that I wanted to hunt.
And
right there.
Even though I got along quite well with Jason, who wrote it, and I gave him a bunch of accurate information, a lot of that got twisted and turned into some of his entries about the dog and the chem dog and the super and all that type of stuff, you know? So be that as it may, what we were trying to do was we were trying to combine the terps and the look of super skunk with the potency and some of the density and some of the niceness of the dog.
Sure.
You know, and it was like and strangely, and this is another thing of why I think maybe it disappeared, is we talked about this recently too. I tend to believe that the skunk and the herm is related.
Yes.
Like, I can't say for certain, but I think it might be a linked trait.
And there's a lot of evidence for that. Yeah.
And as you know, there's very few traits that people breeding have, you know, more prejudice against than banana sacks with herm in them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think inadvertently, people bred away from the skunk.
Yeah.
Without realizing it, because, you know, you breed some stuff, it's a hermy mess, it reeks, you're like, oh God, that's a hermy mess. I'm not going to breed towards that side. And yes. The idea that you could have a linked trait where you have a very desirable trait and a not so desirable trait together, you know, is
the biggest breeder pain in the ass ever is a linked trait with undesirable traits.
You're like, oh, all the potency comes in these low yielding ones that suck, you know, all these
have
huge donkey dicks and like have the structures incredible. They're all bland, you know?
Yep.
And so, you know, the problem is that, you know, you have a situation, it's like, it's kind of the same thing, like, you know, like I told you about with the Trinity, right? Where the Trinity didn't spread very far. And so when we lost it and I kept trying to get it back, people would give me fakes.
Yeah.
And they'd give me fakes, not because they were dicks most of the time, but because they never had it back in the day. So when they got it from someone, they had no way of knowing that it wasn't it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so then I would have to be the bearer of bad news, you know, and be like, no, this isn't it.
Yeah. And people hate the bearer of bad news.
And that's kind of what's happened with this super skunk, right? Is that there's obviously this desire in the community to have these roadkill terps come back, right?
Yeah.
Everyone who finds super skunk has a current seed company and is making seeds to sell to the public. No one ever shows up to events with a couple jars of fresh skunk and lets the proof be in the pudding.
Yeah, right?
They get the cut. They advertise the cut. Here's the cut. We're breeding with the cut. Buy my seeds. Find the amazing terps in the cut, right?
Or they get kinks.
You know, yeah. And so you don't know if they're lying, because I don't know or whatever, or they just have no idea. They just never had it in the past. You know,
to know what skunk is,
to what the actual skunk cut is, you know?
Correct.
And so, you know, by the early to mid 2000s, it had been dropped enough, various people had lost it through, you know, lots of the same reasons that everybody loses cuts, fires, busts, accidents, breakups, you know, people not returning it. I had it backed up with a couple people. They refused to give it back to me at one point, and then lost it in the future. And I had some stuff happen and I lost it, and we've been, you know, we've been hunting it ever since. And,
sure.
You know, I mean, we're both obviously friends with Skunk Va. All these new school super skunk finds. I mean, what are you going to say? They just end up, they end up not looking. I mean, what's awesome is that he's got these, you know, these pictures, these Polaroids that are undisputable proof
that,
that was the cut I had.
That is so big that he has those pictures.
We're buddies. We got it from, you know, it came from the same place. The story was the same thing, you know? So, you know, it's it. And,
yeah.
You know, you have all these other shorter, squatter, Afghan, all these other different looking, you know, super skunk cuts. And then the other part of it too, is that you have people that like, okay, so this guy had the super skunk at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then as soon as that dude verifies, right?
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden, okay, we have it. Now we can trade bait it. Now we can get spread out. Now this person has the cut. And, you know.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem, you know. And so, you know, I mean, before everybody who's listening, holy shit, we're up to 242 people on this thing. But the super skunk was not a perfect cut. You know, like it wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't the holy grail. Did it have crazy rare skunk terps? Absolutely. It had that fades. Was it enjoyable to smoke? Sure. Right? I don't think it held a candle to the dog, the D, some of the cushes, a lot of the modern cuts right now that we would consider to be elite. You know, you would consider it to have moderate potency at best.
Yes.
You know? It wasn't, it, you know, I mean, you know, various cuts have various qualities and other things. And, you know, and so it didn't check all the boxes. Was it a great cut? Sure. Was it worth having? Yes. Was it a pain in the ass to grow? At times, yes.
Did it ruin your room?
Yes. Think about, but, you know, in, you know, I mean, in, I think, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, all of, ChemDog's early breedings were all accidental.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
as far as we know, that's the correct.
Nobody was, well, I mean, the thing is that nobody was reversing back then.
No.
Jesus fucking Christ, right? And
yeah, Noah's making fem seeds back then on purpose.
Seeds back then. And so you only, you know, so, you know, the only way you're crossing two female cuts is accidentally.
Yes.
You know? And those accidents, you know, they led to some of the best weed ever.
In many people's opinion.
And, you know, I mean, that's like a whole nother thing that steps, you know, maybe it steps on toes or doesn't to talk about all those kind of theories about various things. But I have not seen the real super skunk since I lost it, which has been, you know, quite a while at this point. We've been hunting it for a long time. You know, I don't think it exists, you know. There's always the possibility there are still pockets in America where you know, people aren't really connected. They're not on the internet. They're not dialed into like the scene, so to speak. So I mean, obviously, just like we know, right? So to jump on a European trip, everybody thought the A52 was lost for well over a decade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Nobody could find it. And then Karma found a guy that was holding on to this cut for Neville.
Mm-hmm.
Neville told him not to tell anybody. And it was the A52.
Yeah.
And Karma wasn't even sure what he had, right? So he had to give it to Yosemite, who he grew with Neville forever, to grow it out and confirm it was it. So it's possible, right?
It is absolutely possible. I think we are all desperately hoping that happens, too.
No, it's possible that that could exist because the A5 was lost for a long time. I mean, it wasn't a short period of time that it was lost. I mean, I think it got lost in the Switzerland raids when they shut down Chianti and those different and stuff. And it got lost in Holland during the bust eras. And then it was lost for, you know, 10, 12, 14 years, something like that, until it just popped up within the last few.
last few, and now losing friends fast over it. Everybody's fucking arguing over it real fast.
I mean, yeah, it's cool that that people are still fighting over cannabis made in the late 80s.
I know, right?
to how good it is. And it's, you know, it's also not only is a testament to how good it is, but like people want to make money off it too, some people. So if you've got rare and you've got rare access and you can bring something, you know, you're a breeder who operates in the market. So if you've got something nobody else does and you can hype it and it's worthy and you can, you know, I mean, that's what all these super skunk people are trying to do, right?
Right, that's exactly what's going on, yeah.
They're trying to make a bunch of money before people realize they don't have what they have.
Yeah, correct. And that's the jam, you know. A lot of people want to sell seeds or pass cuts or do this and that. And you've got a good, at minimum, 4 months, 3 months before you're going to get any kind of pushback. Now, the other problem is that I've noticed when people either invest and buy in that cut or they've invested emotionally in that cut at that point. Now they think they've got a really rare cut that's going to, you know, bring some kind of value to their life, however they see fit. And they're now in that mindset where this is it. If it's not it, I don't have whatever agenda purpose that I have.
Like I was saying with the Trinity, people would get butthurt at me sometimes when I would be like, politely, it's not it. And they would go, whole thing, and you don't know what I traded to get it, and da 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 da, and I'd be like, well, you know, I'm sorry about all that. Like, I have nothing to do with any of that, but
yeah,
it remains to be seen. It's still not it. It just isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's gotten to a point where there's a narrow group of people who had super skunk it, you know, and some of them had longer relationships with it than others. And so some of them are a little bit better at identifying than others.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Without naming names or stepping on toes or doing anything like that, you know? And we've had issues in the past in the community with people that, you know, are, you know, well thought of or respected that verify.
Yes.
And once it's verified, right? Well, that's all she wrote.
That's it. It's verified.
You know? And then, you know, I'd hit up, you know, Skunk Von or something, and I'll be like, what about that verified cut? And he's like, it's not verified. It absolutely isn't it. I don't know if they ever had it, if they think that's it.
Yes.
Right? And so, yeah. You know, like, if he hits me up and he tells me I think I found it, I'm going to get excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I tend to think him above everyone else is going to know that cut really, really intimately, being that it came from his mentor and he worked with it for so long.
I mean, you know, the fact remains is that him, our buddy, and myself, we cropped it quite a bit for years. So you do that, you do crop after crop after crop for that a bit. You run anything for a number of years as your main squeeze. You know, you learn a lot about it.
Absolutely.
When my buddy and I were, I mean, that's the thing too. And, you know, we've talked about this before is that, since we bred with it a bunch, I got to see, you know, that's one of the things that I really respect about, you know, say like CSI or Archive, who I see on here, you know, where there's only so many breeders out there right now that actually test their own gear. Right?
Sure.
So if you don't test your own gear, you don't really know what traits your clones pass.
Yeah, you're never going to see it firsthand, ever.
You don't see how they breed. Do they breed clean? Do they breed a mess? Do they throw consistent phenotypes? Do they, you know,
Truth band. Someone's asking about truth band.
Band. Yeah, that's a whole subject. So, so we grew, you know, buddy from Staten Island and myself, we grew out hundreds of, you know, dog and skunk and other various skunk hybrids, you know, and we saw what it passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see what it throws out, you know, and so a lot of the various like semi-proven, semi-unproven theories I have about certain things we've talked about a bunch are just on my observation of like not very many people like they had both parents.
Yeah.
Skunk Va, my buddy, myself. We're like literally in like a handful of people that probably had both.
Yeah.
And we're familiar with both.
Yes.
You know? And all that. And so, the skunk definitely seemed to be connected to Herms.
Yes.
And the, you know, when we were doing the Superdog stuff, if we bred away from the Herms, we bred away from some of the stuff we liked. So then the trick was to try to find like a minimal or acceptable amount of Herms.
Yeah.
Okay, like say take the Chem D for instance.
Yes.
Chem D Herms like crazy at times if it gets a little stressed, especially in depth.
Sure.
You know, not as much as indoor, but in depth certainly, or if it gets a little stressed.
Sure.
But it's not live pollen.
Yeah, it's not, it's sterile.
It throws bananas, but there's not really live pollen in those bananas, you know? So then you're looking for, you know, one throws Herms and has the stink, but doesn't have the danger inherent in all that, you know?
Yeah.
It was a long and an expensive breeding project, because back then, obviously Herb went for a lot more and it was a lot riskier. So anytime you dedicated rooms or areas to constant breeding that could have been just some kind of production run, and then you're not even selling the beans, they're just for you and your friends. We always had dual stuff. Like we always had this goal of trying to like, you know, improve the gene pool a little bit, you know, and create more weed that we liked. And so now it's like most people's breeding is like take two famous things that people want, mash them together, and then sell the name.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like
sell the name.
We were like, okay, like we like the skunk smell and we like the color and we like the quickness and all that. Can we marry that to the dog's potency and feeling and warm, happy buzz and all that? Is there some hybrid that we can create that marries those two things together?
Sure. Right?
And so that's obviously the classic way to breed, is you look at two different things and you're like, I want traits from this and traits from this to end up in its progeny.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and so that's really the gig. So, sadly, it seems like a bunch of the stuff that got passed around in Massachusetts quite a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like from what we've been able to determine that the actual cut itself wasn't passed around nearly as much as people think. Maybe in one, maybe bag seed, maybe something different got passed out and it got called Super Skunk and it was from said dude.
Mm-hmm.
So of course it's it. And then you're off to the races and then that thing gets spread around. And then the more, you know, I mean, we talked about this before too, but like, you know, Rez calling his fucking line Sour Diesel sucks.
Yes.
Because anytime
it fucked everything up.
A named cut and then makes a fucking line out of it, finding the actual named cut once there's a whole bunch of you know,
yeah,
other stuff out there that has the same name is problematic.
Yeah, and it became damn near impossible in some cases with that.
You know, and I think the Super Skunk has a semi, there's some pretty famous people in the weed community that had it. So that lends like some gravitas to the fact that it was killer. And then mm-hmm. they say it was killer. And then it comes from this 90s historical era, obviously, right? And, you know, and then on top of that, it probably is in a bunch of other things that people don't realize it's in, right?
Correct.
And everybody knows what a rank skunk smells like. Everybody in America, for the most part, is probably
in America, yeah.
Ones, you know, and all that. And so it's a really distinctive terp.
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't exist.
Or file.
It doesn't.
File.
You know, I mean, some people on here know, some people don't, but I got lucky enough and I cracked what became known as the Mendo P, you know? Yeah. And what's interesting about that cut is that, like, if that cut didn't exist, there's no other line that I know of that has those terps.
Yeah.
like those terps are in cannabis, obviously.
Yeah, they're obviously in cannabis, but it's very unique.
The modern cannabis, and anything you find that ends up smelling like that, you discover it was descended from that.
Yeah.
Right? And so, the skunk nose, in my opinion, really only pops out here and there in its descendants on occasion.
Yes.
That's the Mendo Purps. Yes. Mendo Purple, indeed. Nobody's found it. Nobody's made the terps. Nobody's found the terps. Nobody's been able to produce seed lines or cuttings anytime, because if they did, it would be announced. They would be at conventions or, Emerald Cup or whatever with jars, and they would be, it's a lost terp that people want back.
Anyone who can capture that thiol terp into a seed line that reliably produces it and let it stay in the bud form is going to master it,
So it's obviously
a lot of constituents of it. But man, trying to get something that really hangs with that smell past flower is very, very hard to do.
Yeah, and so everybody, it's got universal recognition of what it should smell like.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of fake cuts that people try to pretend smell like it, right?
Yeah.
It really did smell like it, And so with it, there's no faking the funk.
Unless you have skunk oil. Yeah. And you can rub it on a jar.
I mean, in all that regard, it's like the scientific method, right? Like if somebody can't grow it and produce the same smell, it's not there.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't like you had to do a bomber job of growing it, dude. Obviously in the 90s, we've all gotten quite a bit better at gardening.
Oh, yeah.
You're older, you get more experienced, you learn more. There's way cooler products that make your life easier, we used to mix soil in a fucking cement mixer.
Yeah.
From raw amendments.
Yeah.
All these biological amendments. There wasn't all these inoculants and foods and teas and this and that like there is now. It was like GH and earth juice and even just the stuff that you could get and you were just happy that the store carried.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty limited compared to now,
Yeah.
And so that terp just existed. You grew it. Someone's saying about the Mendo Purps. It is not from the Pacific Northwest, no.
Terpenberg, think about that question for a second. Think about that question. Is Mendo Purps from the PNW?
I mean, it's cool, dude. Whoever asked that, any question is cool.
No, Terpenberg's cool.
And it really down to it, like most, that's the thing, right, is that just so, Matt and I are going to do a podcast pretty soon here. And chat about history. And really what it boils down to for me is like I don't really give a shit about fame or rep or anything like that. Most of our history in the cannabis community is oral, passed down from people to people. And there are people that have heard the real deal and have verified and cross-verified type stuff, but it can be really hard for people that come along later or don't have personal connection to something. I mean, bullshit spreads like wildfire at times. And certain people have vested interests in spreading bullshit. And so, counteracting that with truth. it really is. It is. It was an underground illegal venture, and lots of little individual groups, passing on knowledge to each other. And it just so happens that, the Grateful Dead and the kids that followed the Grateful Dead, that was probably like the greatest open air weed market in American history at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
After them, after Jerry died, started growing weed because it kept the lifestyle going. And so for a while now, it's not true anymore. We're just a segment. But for a minute, in the 90s and mid 2000s, like, almost all the best and most famous cuts came from some hippie or another, some crew, you know, some related group. And you're only so far removed from all those people because it's a small world. So, you know, most of this stuff, I just got lucky in the sense that, you know, I mean, you have no idea what's going to be famous or not.
All this
we're doing, like, you know, the dog didn't get famous until Skunk Va decided to get on forums and start chatting about it.
Sure.
Nobody knew who, you know, except for on the East, nobody knew who Chem Dog was. Nobody knew who P-Bud was. Nobody knew any of these people's names or what they were involved with or anything else, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, so it's like, you know, all this stuff kind of happens after the fact. You know, when you're just like, you're just kids.
Want more Breeder Syndicate? Be sure to check out our Patreon by going to Google and searching Breeder Syndicate Patreon. We have a secret Discord where we are available at most times and interact daily. There are a lot of perks to be had there, so check it out. Need seeds? Check out riotseeds.com, where you can get our seeds and our reversal spray for making your own feminized seeds.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.